Good morning, and it's really good to be back. Sorry, can we just turn it down a bit? Thanks. It's really good to be back after, you know, all of us have been away. The church has been closed for a while. We obviously didn't have a Christmas meeting because even this venue's closed on Christmas Day. But it's good to be back. It's always good to be back in our own church. And I hope a lot of you, well, all of you went to different churches, you know, over the time that we were closed. And looking forward to getting back into fellowship here this morning. Amen. You know, Krisha and I are really, really trusting for a fruitful year for each and every single one of us. And that is for you and your family, and for us as a body of believers, for us as His Way Church as well. And what I'm going to be sharing here today is really a similar message today that I shared this time last year, and it's a similar message that I'll be sharing this time next year as well. This is one message that I like to make sure that I share every single year around about this time to prepare us for the new year, for the year ahead. So I want to start off by asking us all a question here this morning. And the question that I'm about to ask, it's an important question, very important question. It's a question that I believe that we should be asking ourselves on a regular basis. Are you ready for the question? You ready? So here's the question. What is my mission now that I am a believer? And what is our mission as a church, as a body of believers? Now, you know, people make a really big deal about mission. Am I right? So often, you know, it's mission and you see incredible big mission statements and boards in some churches and so on, which is not a bad thing. Okay, it just reminds us of what it's all about. But folks, this thing of mission is not complicated. It really isn't complicated. The word mission means tasks that are put in place to fulfill a purpose. Tasks, the things that we need to do, that are put in place to fulfill a purpose. So we need to be asking ourselves then, you know, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? What is your purpose and my purpose now that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? And I've got some very good news for us. Very good news for us. You and I do not decide on the purpose of the church or what the purpose of the church is. Jesus has told us what the purpose of the church is, and He's the head of the church, and He established the purpose of the church more than 2,000 years ago. Amen? So we don't have to worry about what the purpose of the church is. Your job and my job is to actually go out and to discover what His purpose is for the church. That's what we need to be doing. We need to go not only discover what the purpose of the church is, and once we know what the purpose of the church is, then we just go out and do what He's called us to do. Isn't that amazing? This is not complicated, okay? So Jesus has made it so easy for us. He's really summarized the purpose of the church in two portions of Scripture, which we call, the one we would call, the Great Commandment. And the other one we call the Great Commission. The Great Commandment, this is Matthew 22, verse 37. And He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the great and the first commandment. And folks, when we say commandment, this is not a suggestion. Right? This is an instruction from the Lord to us. He goes on to say, and the second one, so that's the first one, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, right? The second one, He says, Jesus speaking, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. Amen. So, that is the great command, the great commandment. But then Jesus still made it easier for us. He gave us what we call the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28. Verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Disciples. Does it say disciples or does it say converts? Disciples. Okay? So often we just think, you know, well, it's a convert and we kind of leave it there. And I'm going to be speaking about that this morning. Jesus said, go there and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus was basically asked here to identify what the most important command is. They asked him what the most important, and he responded by saying, here is the entire Old Testament in a nutshell. That's what it is. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, if we apply this, I tell you, this world would be an amazing place. Because there would be no thieving, all right? There would be no dishonoring God. There would be no dishonoring people. Is that true? Okay? But Jesus didn't stop there. He then gave us three more tasks by giving us the Great Commission. He said to us, go and make disciples. He said, go and baptize them. And he said, and teach them to obey all that I have taught. So what Jesus basically, you know, told us in these two portions of Scripture is the mission of the church. The mission of the church. And it's really about knowing Jesus, making Jesus known, loving the Lord with all our hearts, and loving people. That's what it is. Like I'm saying, this is not complicated. So we see, you know, the 5 points that he actually gave us are really the 5 tasks that fulfill the purpose of the church. And this is really the mission of the church. And remember, too, that you and I are the church. Tell the person next to you, I'm the church. Okay? It's not the building. Not the building. You and I are the church. And these are instructions. These are commands from the Lord ourselves. So what I want to do, I want to take a few minutes and really just unpack what the Lord has told us, what the Lord has commanded, what the Lord has instructed us to do now that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the first one, number one, the task that fulfills your purpose. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And there's a word, the word that probably best describes this would be the word worship. Worship, right? The church exists to worship God. So we love Him with all our heart. And how do we demonstrate that? By worshiping Him. Right. And folks, when we worship together like we have been today. And then we also worship by ourselves. We need to make sure that we have a personal relationship with our Creator. And so when we express our love to God, it's worshiping Him. Isn't that amazing? We just tell Him how much we love Him. And we are worshiping Him. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, this is important for us, this particular verse. It says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Now, why I say it's important, because I don't know if you've noticed there, that we see that worship comes before service. Let me say that again. Worshiping God comes before service to God. And sometimes people get involved in church, we get involved in ministry, and it's all about this program and that program and doing this and doing that. And we just run off our feet for the Lord, and we are so run off our feet and we are so busy for the Lord that we do not have time to have a relationship with Him and where we're able to express ourselves to Him in worship because we're so busy. I want to say, folks, make sure that this is not the case. Amen. Psalm 34:3. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." We get together and we exalt and we praise Him together. So that's the first one of the five. Number two, a task that fulfills your purpose and my purpose as a believer. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the word that probably best describes this would be the word ministry. Is that true? We minister to people. We minister to them. And the church, as we are here, we exist partly to minister to God's people. And ministry is really just a demonstration of God's love to others and meeting the needs of other people. And we need to be open to that, all right? When we reach out to a person, to encourage a person, we are actually ministering to them. And so you and I, when we minister to people, and I'm saying all of us, folks, this is now the ministry part. So often we get it wrong. We think, well, ministry, that's the pastor's job. Is that true? Or it's the deacon's job? Hey, it's all of our job. If we are a believer, if you are a believer, this is for you and it's for me and it's for all of us. So when we reach out to a person, when we start to minister to a person, we minister to all kinds of different needs that that person may have. It might be their physical needs, but maybe that person is going through difficulty where they might be sick. That we can go ahead and share the word of God with them, and where the word of God says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We minister to that person. So that might be the physical need. It might be an emotional need. Maybe a person is really down. A person is depressed. Folks, we need to speak life into these situations. We show them in the Word of God that the Word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. We minister life into that situation if it's an emotional issue. It might be a spiritual issue. Maybe that person doesn't even know the Lord. And then we come along and we actually tell them about God's goodness and we speak, tell them about salvation, how they can receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, how that ultimately, if they've done that, they will be spending eternity in the presence of Almighty God in a real place called heaven. Amen? So we minister to people's spiritual needs as well, and in terms of their relationship with God. It might be that we minister into their relational issues. You know, when people get together, even in a family, there are relational issues. And we need to know how to deal with relational issues. And we might have to be sitting down with somebody and speaking them, you know, to them about this thing of forgiveness so that they can be set free. They're setting themselves free. Amen. So there's different areas that we do this. You know, Jesus said that even if we give somebody a cup of cold water, if we give a cup of cold water to somebody in His name, that would not go unrewarded. We would be rewarded for that. Why? Because we are ministering to that person. We see in Ephesians 4 verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So folks, when we do this individually and we do it corporately as a body of believers. Amen. You know, faithfulness, so often we speak about faithfulness and people, you know, let me say this, when we talk about faithfulness, you know, in the church and so on, it should not be defined as, you know, just coming to church and return your tithe, whatever that is, right? So often we think, well, I'm so faithful because I go to church and I tithe and therefore I'm faithful. Folks, we need to include in that service to the body. Faithfulness is service to the body as well. Amen. So it's not just about coming in, you know, on a Sunday morning and moving out and coming back next Sunday as well. The next one, number 3. So grateful somebody got it. Thank you. Thank you. Number 3, task that fulfills your purpose and my purpose as a believer. Go and make disciples. Yeah, that's the job of the dominie, eh? The dominie must do that. And if it's not him, then it must be the deacon. Folks, this is for all of us. Go and make disciples. And the word that best describes that would be the word evangelism. Okay? And this thing is the responsibility of each and every single one of us in terms of where the Lord has placed us in our sphere of influence. Don't think where you spend your days at the moment all day is an accident. God has put you there. God's put you there for a purpose. And we need to ensure that we communicate with those people who are in our sphere of influence. You know, research, this is quite interesting. Research actually shows that close to 80% of people that get born again, people that get saved, are as a result of somebody that they know. 80%, okay? So folks, we need to make sure that we are those that are ministering at every single opportunity that we get. And if you find that it's too difficult, that's fine, all right? You know, speak to that person, bring them to church, and we will do our best. Us, all of us, will do our best to ensure that that person receives salvation and starts to grow in the things of God. Amen. The question is, are we using every single opportunity that the Lord gives us to tell people about Jesus? We need to be honest with this. Huh? Are we doing that? When we leave here today, when these doors open, we are leaving this place and we are entering into our mission field. That's where all the activity is, into our mission field. I do believe that each one of us can do a little bit more. Amen? Is that true? And I'm talking to me. All of us can do just a little bit more for the Lord, as unto the Lord. Remember, too, that the Lord has positioned you. He's put you in a specific place where you spend your days. And let's just embrace that and make the most of those opportunities. I want to ask you a question, and I now spoke about this a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But do the people around you at work, wherever you spend your day, do they know who you stand for? This is one of the big problems in the church. Remember a few weeks ago I spoke about the chameleon Christian. The chameleon Christian comes into church, and everybody sees the chameleon Christian, and the chameleon Christian looks like all the other Christians in church. But the problem is, when the chameleon Christian leaves church on a Sunday and goes into this lost and dying world, they take on a different coloring, and they fit in so well into the world and the world system. And the world, when they're in the world, they don't know that they're Christians because they fit in so well. There's no flavor of the Lord being released where that person is. When people see that people, they don't see Christ in them, the hope of glory. They just see another worldly person. And then on Sunday, they're back. I'm just saying, look, I know it's none of you. So don't worry. Don't blush, guys. Okay, take it easy here. But I'm saying, folks, this is a problem. There are too many closet Christians not standing up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in terms of how we should be doing that. Okay? The problem is, you know why they are like that? Because they are people pleasers. Just want to please people. Let's be a God pleaser. Amen? Let's please God. It's every believer's responsibility to share the good news wherever we are. And, you know, each one of us, I really believe this, one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Lord is going to speak to us specifically about those things that He's commanded us to do. Right? He's going to have a chat to us. Hey, Dave, those things that I commanded you to do, how did you... I'm just saying, let's make sure that, look, when we get into eternity, He's going to be saying to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. But let's make sure that we are mindful of these five things that I'm speaking about here today, because I think the Lord's going to have a chat to us about them. You know, so personal evangelism that we're speaking about right here is not only our responsibility, because He's commanded us to do it, but it's also a privilege. It really is a privilege, you know, to be an ambassador for our Creator. Amen. So, you know, we become a lot more effective when we start to minister to people that we know. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't not speak to people that you don't know. But I can tell you it's a lot easier speaking to somebody that you're connecting with on a daily basis than it is to go out there and knock on someone's door. And as they open the door, you know, you kind of put your foot in there just in case they're going to try to close it. And you're standing like this and you're saying to them, hi, my name's Dave and I've come to tell you about Jesus. And you see them tugging at the door trying to close it. I'm not saying don't do that. But maybe it's easier to do it with people we know. Amen. Okay. A lot more effective. And the other thing, folks, we need to remember that Jesus wants everyone saved. Everyone. So these, when the word speaks about everyone, it talks about everyone. And these are people from different religions as well. Okay. You know what Jesus says? Jesus loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Amen. And we need to be mindful of that. Jesus wants every single person to receive salvation. Number 4. We're talking about tasks that fulfill your purpose and tasks that fulfill my purpose as well. Now, this is an interesting one. Baptizing them. The Bible talks about going, baptizing, teaching, and each of these are part of what we would call the Great Commission. Is that right? And at first, when we actually look at this, we wonder why baptism is amongst all of this. Why is baptism here? You know, why is baptism right in the middle of the Great Commission? I'm so pleased you asked that question. So I'm going to tell you why. Let me say this, first of all, that obviously Jesus, when He mentioned baptism right in the middle of the Great Commission, right, you know, He didn't do it by accident. He put it there for a reason. Folks, Jesus wants us to belong as well as believe. I'll say it again. He wants us to belong as well as believe. He wants us to believe, obviously, but He also wants us to belong, to be part of what's happening. So as a Christian, we can't just be those lone rangers. And at the moment, after COVID, let me tell you, there are many lone rangers. Oh, Brother Dave, you know what? I just don't think I have to go to church. I just like getting out of bed on a Sunday morning and turning my TV on and looking at God TV in my slippers, my flip-flops. Folks, the word says, do not neglect the gathering together of the saints. And there's a reason for that. It's good. I'm not saying don't look at God TV in your slippers and your gown. All right? Do that, but be in church. Okay? Because it is about relationships, folks. Iron sharpens irons. We are a family. Okay? We belong to a family. The Bible talks about us, believers, being the family of God. How can you interact with your family when you're in your gown And as I say slippers, I see those big furry ones with little rabbits on them, huh? Little ears that go like this. Okay? Folks, people need to interact. People need to have fellowship. We need to have fellowship with one another. So what I'm saying is that baptism that Jesus put right in there in the Great Commission, it's a symbol of salvation, okay? But it is also a symbol of fellowship. It represents fellowship. It symbolizes a new life in Christ. And basically what baptism is, a public declaration of a person's incorporation into the body of Christ. Is that what it is? That's what it is, right? It demonstrates that we are now part of a family. We're not alone. We're not alone. We have support, right? So the church exists to provide fellowship for believers. One of the reasons. Ephesians 2:19. That is why you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members, I'll say it again, and members of God's household. So like I said, this thing of baptism, it's a public declaration. Amen. The final one, number 5. Hey man, it's just 5 things we have to do as believers. It really is, just 5. The 5th one, the task that fulfills our purpose, is teaching them to obey. And we sit and we say, oh, thank goodness. That's the pastor's job again. No, it's not the pastor's job. It's all of our jobs. Okay? Teaching them to obey. The word that best describes this would be the word discipleship. Amen? We hear that word, discipleship. The church exists, and remember, you are the church, I'm the church. We exist to educate God's people in God's ways. That's one of the reasons why we're here. So really, discipleship is a process of helping somebody become more and more like Jesus. That's what it is. Helping people to start to become more like Jesus. In Colossians 1 verse 28, it says, we spread the message about Christ as we instruct and teach everyone. How? With all wisdom there is, we want to present everyone as mature Christian people. And folks, again, this is a responsibility of all of us. So really, as the church, we must not only, reach out to people, and not only reach people, but we have to teach them. We have to teach people. People have to grow in the things of God. And again, I'm saying this, that it is the responsibility of each one of us. Each one of us. Let me ask you another question. Who are you spending time with in this church? If we are family, right? Who are you fellowshipping with on a regular basis? Who are you mentoring? There are men and women sitting here today that have so much knowledge of the gospel that has not been used. Who are you mentoring? Helping, assisting. Ephesians 4:12. Their purpose is to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son, until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. So the objective is that we all strive for that standard, to become more like Jesus. Amen. And folks, so what I'm saying today here is that the purpose of the church has not changed. The purpose of the church exists to demonstrate that we are able to demonstrate our love towards God. The purpose of the church is that we demonstrate our love towards other people as well. Also that we tell people about Jesus, which is known as evangelism, that we teach people, and also that we baptize them, baptizing people. And all of these things, it's a demonstration of our close and deep relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now this is interesting, what I'm going to share right now, because every church will differ in how these tasks are accomplished. Is that true? Because if they did not differ in how they are accomplished, you know, we would all probably all be in one church in the area. The reason why you're here today and not at the church up the road or down the road is because the way we do things are slightly different to the way the other churches do things. And they do things different to the way we do things. All right? But the bottom line is that there should be absolutely no disagreement in terms of what we are about and what we need to do as believers, which are those, you know, five things that I mentioned. So, you know, every member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be involved. Every member of the church needs to participate in terms of what Jesus has told us to do. Cool. Like I said, just now, we're going to be moving into our mission field. See that door there? As that door opens, we are entering into our mission field as we leave this place today. And I'm saying, folks, let us choose to be effective Christians and boldly go out and share the truth of the gospel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords out there in this lost and dying world. Right? When we get together like this, our times like this, these meetings, maybe the meetings that we normally have on a Sunday afternoon, which we haven't started yet, our midweek meetings, all of these meetings that we have are really a time of preparation for what we need to be doing. Those five things. That's all. Okay? But let me say this, that if this is not the case, here's the problem. If this is not the case, we become consumer Christians. Consumer Christians. Right? What can I get? Gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. What can I get? What blessings can I receive? Where the focus becomes on what I can get from Jesus to make my life happy so I can park off on Dad's yacht. Huh? Instead of doing what he has called us to do. Told us those five things. Those are instructions, what he's called us to do. Folks, when we go out there and do what he has called us to do, he will give us the grace. He will give us the favor. He will give us the provision. He will give us the mercy. He will give us the joy. He will give us the blessings. He will give us the insight, the understanding, and the wisdom to do all of those things. As I close, a couple of questions. How committed are you to Jesus? Think about it. How committed are you to Jesus? Next question. How committed are you at doing what he's instructed us and commanded us to do? Next question. How committed are you to the local church? In terms of your time and your effort and your skills and your finances and all of those things that make up you. How committed are you to the local church? How committed are you at helping the extension of God's kingdom? Folks, it's the beginning of the year. It's always a good time to ask these questions. Huh? Is that true? We need to. Today I'm sharing the platform for 2023 that we need to, or the springboard that we need to be diving off in 2023. I said last week that I wasn't going to be, you know, recording this message. We have recorded it, so you can get it on the website or you'll get it on your WhatsApp if you're on that group. But next week I'm not recording the message. It's a very interesting message that I'm going to be sharing because it's about us. Okay, it's going to be specifically, I don't want this next week's message to go out because it's going to be about His Way Church and what we're all about. Amen. So, like I said, the beginning of the year is a good time for us to ask these questions. The beginning of the year is really a good time to make the necessary adjustments. If we see that there are adjustments that need to be made in our own lives, let's make them now. Amen? Let's make them now. Let us make a decision, even this morning, that we're going to live out 2023 for the Lord. We're going to do it. And that takes a decision, because it's not going to just happen. The path of least resistance is that we don't. It's about making a commitment. It's about making a decision. So folks, let's choose this morning to do it wholeheartedly for Him. Amen. Amen. Flight.